It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939. Alabama Pipe and Supply, Competition Head Service, new sponsor with us this week. And Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous. New Ed's Seafood Shed to come soon.
Soon, yeah. Sooner or later, anyway.
Soon.
Sooner or later.
The but nails they still do are being driven and the screws are being screwed.
There you go.
Yeah.
But, they still operate in, under their other headers, I guess. But
Yes. The other restaurants are still there. I had the occasion to – have you ever eaten a Cadillac before?
No.
Hamburger. Okay. Hamburger.
Hey, it sounds good.
I went to the Squid Ink, I think it was Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon, and had me a Cadillac hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them – fries and went to Old Cammy's and got me some ice cream. And
there you
woo!
Go. That hamburger has some big fins on it and stuff.
Oh, yeah, man. It had fins on it, like the 56, 57 model Cadillacs, you know.
You
I thought that sucker was going to take off.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee you.
Awesome. It's the finest hamburger I've ever eaten. So that was a Squid Ink down on Dolphin Street.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. I thought I was going to have to, wait 30 minutes to get in there. It was packed.
Oh, yeah. But, I'm sure they got you in and got you taken
care of. Oh, yeah. Wasn't no problem, man. It's funny how I even like it. We eat at Judy's a lot. And you can go in there and everything will be full. And all of a sudden, boom, they start coming out, It's like, okay, it's time for us to go now.
That's right. Yeah, that's a place that I've never really had to wait all that long. But they get busy over there for sure.
Yeah, they do. It's unbelievable what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we got a new sponsor this week. We have Competition Head Service, Dewey Miller. Been
over 50 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, been there a long time.
Over 50 years, Sarah. It's in there, at one time was in the buildings with Bob's Speed Shop, the speed merchant there.
Yep.
Mobile, good friend. I think sponsors on y'all's car.
Helps us on our Outlaw a little bit. And then,
there you go.
Does good work. Been building hot rod motors in this town forever. So,
well, Dewey does a good job. He's got an outstanding cylinder head, man. He's got just any kind of equipment you want over there. He even has a CNC machine.
Mm-hmm.
Has one of the only digital balancing machines that there is down in the south.
Right.
And that makes it very unique to be able to computerize that stuff. Gets the tolerances down a little bit better than what you're normally accustomed to.
Right. He's been doing the crank grinding in Mobile for a long time.
Oh,
yeah. Only a few machine shops in town that does it, and he's been one of the best around for a long time.
Well, he's big on diesel cylinder heads and all, too, Cummins engines and all. So glad to have Mr. Competition Head Service on board here with us, located on Butler Drive, just off of Government Boulevard.
Just around the corner from your old place.
And Leo's Western Wear. One block behind it.
Yep.
We used to throw rocks at each other.
Just about. I could look through the woods from my shop behind your building and
see him from over there when you had the shop behind my place. Yep.
Yep, absolutely. So, anyway, I'm sure people have questions and have issues with their vehicles. I'm trying to get the text line up and going here. It's slowly starting to get going. But anyway, if you have any questions, send us a text. And I'll make Philip write them down here for the time being until I can get this one working. I guess the mouse died or something. It's not pedaling fast enough. So
it's tarred.
Yep.
It's like me. It's tarred. Yeah.
The mouse is tarred. So.
Mouse is tarred. Mouse has done run his legs off.
We'll get him wound back up here before it's over with, so that's okay. But I know we got warm weather around the corner. Hopefully we're through with the cold stuff, but
you would
not going to swear to it.
Right. We would hope that we are, but That being said, is it time for us to start worrying about some of the summer maintenance on our vehicles?
Yeah, I mean, it's never too early to get started, you know, and you know, the key thing is if you get your car in, you get it serviced by professionals, they're going to be looking at the stuff that you need,
right.
need to know ahead of time, and, you know, it's not going to be an issue when the weather changes, you know. Of course, batteries die in the heat, they die in the cold, you know, anytime you have a temperature swing, you can have batteries give up. You know, summertime, you know, you always think of antifreeze, you know, need to be for the winter. But it's also a summer thing as well because it's a
– Well, now they call it coolant.
It's coolant, you know, and the key thing is that it keeps it from boiling because, you know, water without being under pressure boils at 212 degrees.
Right.
And you can put pressure on it and raise that some, you know, but you can also put – coolant in the motor and it will help raise that boiling point
okay.
you know, a little bit higher than that. So and it also gives you the corrosion protection and all that goes along with it as well because these motors are aluminum and
right yeah. right we've got a mixture of all the different metals and all and yeah. We get electrolysis started there and it starts minutely eating the little pieces of aluminum and other metals out and dissimilar metals.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they would say.
You
have to be real careful with that now. And it has to do with the coolant because it has these chemical packages that are in there that all of the old green coolant as we knew it back in the day didn't have all of this stuff.
Right, right. We do have a text message here, James from Florida, who dislikes the ethanol gas the most, a carbureted engine or a fuel-injected engine? You know, it's kind of a toss-up, to be honest with you, but I would have to say fuel-injected motors dislike it more for the simple fact that the passages that you're trying to push that trash through when it starts to break down is much finer in a fuel-injected motor, and our newer fuel-injected motors do not typically have filters in the fuel lines anymore. They have a screen in the tank, and each injector will have a small screen in it, but they typically do not have just regular filters.
We don't have fuel filters on them like we did in the old days. You're normally located on a frame or
right.
side of the frame or on a firewall.
Yeah, so if you let these things start sitting up, if you drive them every day, it's not a problem. They don't care.
Right, right.
Okay. Unfortunately, most of you hear more problems out of the carbureted vehicles because most of those are classics that people have put up somewhere
mm-hmm.
and they don't drive them as often.
Mm-hmm.
So it you get more trouble out of those, but it's because they're not being used.
Right.
But that being said, are the more recent cars that are fuel injected, when they get to the point where people are just letting them sit and not do anything, the injectors start to stick closed, the fuel pumps, the rubber in the tank start giving up. It's it gets to be a lot more expensive than just cleaning
right.
the carburetor out
right.
and going again.
But, what you're saying, though, is true to so many things on the cars when they set up, though.
Mm-hmm.
All the rubbers and all the clutches and all the things that have to stay lubricated dry out and tend
yep.
to crack.
Yep.
And then we start getting some leaks,
you know. And talking about ethanol fuel, yeah, I typically run my lawn equipment often enough that I don't worry about running ethanol fuel in it, and haven't really had any problems. I've got an old Honda push mower that my father-in-law had.
You can't kill that.
Well, you know, and the thing, he got to where he couldn't cut his grass, so it sat in his garage for about 3 years.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And I got it back from him. I poured fuel in it, fired right up. First pull.
It must have been totally dry when he set it up.
No, I think it had fuel in it. But I've got a little cheapy push mower that I bought just to trim stuff around the yard. And it's one of the newer ones with a Briggs motor with a completely plastic carburetor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it... sitting from last season to this season and the season before to last season, both times the carburetor's gummed up sitting just a few months.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't I don't know that I can attribute that all that to the fuel, or is it the newer carburetor designs and cheaper stuff? You know?
Cheaper crap.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I open that carburetor up and it's like, oh, come
tobacco
on,
cans and stuff. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I took the carburetor off to clean it out, and it's like, there is not a metal piece on this thing.
Oh, my Lord.
You know, it is a plastic carburetor from top to bottom, jets, all the mounting points, everything. It's all plastic.
Well, we can't call it cheap. I guess we need to refer to it as a more economical building product.
Yeah, you know, but hey, for, you know, what I pay for that thing, about $175 for a motor that runs, cheap. Had a blade on it, had a deck on it, had, you know, and it cut grass. You know, nowadays to pay that for it is like, nah, I can't complain too much.
Right,
you know?
Right, so, okay.
But anyway, it sounds like it's time for us to take a break, and we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
He's kissing mama goodbye. He's up and gone with the sun. Daddy drives an 18-wheeler, and he's off on a Midwest run. And three sad faces gather round mama. They ask her when daddy's coming home. Daddy drives an 18-wheeler, and they sure miss him when he's gone.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line.
Welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But, if you've been by UJ Chevrolet recently, I know you've noticed that the parking lot looks a little thin, but it's actually looking a little better right now. We've got a few more vehicles in than what we've had in the last couple months, but you know it's still an issue trying to get pieces and parts to put them together. So they're hit or miss coming in. I think they shut down the truck plants for a couple weeks.
Chevrolet plants.
Yeah.
Well, Ford shut theirs down, too.
Ford shut theirs down, and there's been several other manufacturers that shut theirs down as well.
Right, yeah.
So everybody's in the same boat. You know, we're still dealing with supply issues. So, you know, and if you have to have a module of some sort, that's typically an issue. Any of our newer vehicles, you know, a lot of those components are going straight to the assembly line versus to, you know, shop, so
they're
it's,
not going
it's
into
taking
supply chain.
Yeah, so it's taking a little longer to get some pieces there, but I don't know. That's you know, it makes it hard, but you know, it is what it is. We get we take it as we can, and we you know, try and get it going. Yeah, let's see. We got another text here. What is the best way to find a vacuum leak? Depending on what kind of vehicle you're talking about, but I see in the past where you were talking about an 87 R10, maybe the same vehicle. The easiest way is to crank it up, let it run, and you can use a flammable spray like a carburetor cleaner or a brake clean of some sort, and carefully spray around the carburetor or throttle body, around the intake. Be careful to keep it away from any ignition sources because you're spraying flammable liquid on top of a running motor, so
right.
You have to be careful. But as soon as you get close to a vacuum leak, the motor will smooth out and or pick up RPMs. And if it is an 87 R10, that is the first fuel-injected V8 that they had in the square body trucks, basically, and they had a issue with the throttle body gasket would suck in underneath the throttle body, close to where the PCV hooked up to the throttle body. It would get a vacuum leak right there.
Okay.
Underneath the throttle body, fairly easy to fix. You know, you just had to unbolt the throttle body and pick it up, and turn it over, clean the gasket off, and put a new one in it, and you're good to go.
There you go. Yeah. Okay.
So it's not too terribly bad, But, you know, like I say, the easiest way, and people have used, like, propane and that, you know, for years. I know we used to have a propane bottle with, like, an airline on it to where you could, you know, induce a little bit of propane around the motor in spots, and the motor would smooth out when you found the vacuum leak.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's usually the best way to do it. On our later model fuel-injected motors, they're way more sensitive to air leaks than the older stuff. So you can actually watch your fuel trim numbers as you spray around the motor.
That's putting your diagnostic equipment on it, though.
Yeah, yeah. You have to have your diagnostic equipment hooked up to it and watch it as you spray around, and you'll actually see the O2 numbers, you know, change, and your fuel trim numbers will start moving the other direction. You know, so it's you can find it fairly easy that way, and or do a smoke check on the motor, and do smoke into the intake system and see where it smokes out of.
Well, most of the shops have got these smoke systems now, don't they?
You almost have to, because, you know, to find evap leaks in the fuel systems and the vent systems, you almost have to have it, you know, because mm-hmm. that's about the only way you can find one, you know, find a leak in one. That's because you can't pressurize it, you can't spray anything at it, you can't do anything. It's, you know, it's just not a visual thing unless you induce smoke and see where it comes out at, so. But we do have a caller online. Let's see. Caller, you with us?
Hey, guys.
Hey, hey.
It's Jarhead.
Hey, buddy. What you doing today?
Oh, not a whole lot. I'm sorry I missed y'all last week. I got a little preoccupied. I was watching some women's softball. And, you know, much as I love Alabama football, hey, I like watching them women out there playing.
Son, they play some good ball. I was watching Alabama and Florida play a while ago. On the
tube. I got it paused right now, Tom. As soon as I get through talking to you guys and finish listening to the show, I'm gonna go ahead and finish watching.
what's the score on Alabama Florida?
What's that?
What's the score? You watching Alabama Florida?
3-1.
3-1. They were 3-0 when I saw them.
Yeah, they had one little hit a little pop fly over the center field fence, but that's all right.
Yep.
All right, hey, listen to this. We are, all right, it's maintenance for dummies again tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We are changing a Serpentine drive belt.
Yep.
What tools you need, and what do you want to do? You want to take a pic, look up under the hood, see if you can find the diagram. If you can't find all that, what do you want to look at? We want to look at the pulleys, whether they're grooved, try to figure them out, whether they're grooved or they're flat. Come on. Come on, guys, give me some help here. I got some people want to know all this stuff.
Well, you know, and that's the big thing is you better find the routing before you start pulling the belt off. You know, because it's even though you can look at the pulleys and you've got grooved pulleys and you've got flat, smooth pulleys, and obviously the smooth side is going to be on the back side of the belt and the groove is going to be on the groove side of the belt. But there's even though you know that. It could be routed a bunch of different ways, and only one of them works. So, although I have seen a old 3-1 in a Malibu that you could put the groove side on the water pump pulley, and it would turn backwards, and it would almost keep the car cool, but not quite.
All right, well, let me ask you this now: if you get them all routed semi right, and you just so happen for some reason that you could, and I'm not saying that you can, get the alternator pulley or belt on backwards.
Yeah.
Would it work?
Should not.
No, not supposed to.
You know, and then a lot of our alternators nowadays actually have a clutch system in them that won't even let them drive backwards. Yeah. You know, it'll pull it in the right direction, then it kind of freewheels if you get it spun up that way. So not exactly sure why they do that, but they do. You know, not.
Well, you know, you would think that thing, whether it's turning one way or the other, it's still going to be generating that juice.
Yeah, you would think so, but it's got something going on in there that keeps it from doing it. I have not been able to make one charge backwards. So
I don't think the control is the which way the armature is being turned in the alternator as much as it is the control panel and the diodes and things in there that lets the juice come out.
Right. It's a product of the diodes and the way the regulator and all that function in it. But, and now they're computer controlled, so it's a whole different world.
Yeah, back in the day, we had high side, low side diodes and all that stuff.
You know,
we don't have that anymore.
Yeah, if you had an old generator, it would probably really didn't care which way you turned it, as long as it was turning, it was doing
there you
something.
Go. But,
Tom, are you gonna make it to the battleship Wednesday, or are you gonna let
I'll
somebody
be there wide eyed bushtail
catalytic converters again?
We're gonna be there wide eyed bushtail, man. What you talking about? We can do it remote with a box if we do have it in a suitcases and we can carry it on board. I'll tell you what, I just certainly hope that it's not as windy over there as it was this past Friday. Bill Wilson Detachment, our Marine Corps League, did a honor guard over there carrying the flags for one of the World War II Navy ships that a bunch of their people were in town and having their reunion. And we called it a different kind of cover in the service, but we call it a service cover. And you know what kind of cover I was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of our guys lost his cover, so.
Yeah. Hey, maybe I can take a half a day vacation and maybe come over there and see you guys Wednesday.
Bring it on. Now, there should be enough room. We could probably sit in there with us. I don't think there's going to be that many people over there, but look forward to seeing you, brother. Appreciate you calling in.
All right, Tom. Well, y'all have a great night, and we'll catch y'all next week. And Simplify.
I appreciate your service, brother.
All right, Jarhead. But you know, Tom's going to have to be over there. They've talking about redecking the teak decks on the on the battleship. So he'll have to go over there and supervise anyway.
Oh yeah, I'll have to show him how to do that.
Yeah, he ain't gonna let him do that without him.
That was part of my job when I helped build Alabama.
Which is a good thing that they're I'm proud to see that they're. Yeah, doing the maintenance and keeping up the USS Alabama. That's a big draw for our area for sure.
But I'd like to have some of those teak pieces of wood there to make go out on a patio or something.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll be used for something.
Well,
but, sound like it's time for us to take a break, and we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
The food's just got to be good, so they go in there amongst all them truck drivers sitting around talking low. They're talking about women and stuff like that.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raymond along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But let's see, what were we talking about?
I don't know, but come back to our new competition head service. And your sponsor there being located over on Butler Drive off of Government Boulevard, right there by Leo's Western Wear, and I believe it's the Gallery Antique Store.
Yep, right behind them.
Yeah, right behind them on Butler Drive. I knew he's been there for a long time. Bob does all the cylinder heads and things of that nature, but they can, polish cranks and they can turn cranks, but that's not something that you do that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But he still has the capabilities of it, but he is doing a lot of engine balancing on the gas burner motors.
Mm-hmm.
They do the Cummins cylinder heads and the Cummins work on that. He actually participated with Cummins helping design their book on how to work on the little small Cummins engines.
Really?
When they come out with them, because they were having trouble trying to put a sleeve in it.
Yeah.
And he said, well, that's no problem. Here's the way we do it on these hot rods.
Right.
Put that step in the bottom of the block.
Yeah. Just give it somewhere to sit.
Right. And let the sleeve sit on that, and then the head will hold it down.
Right.
Can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So that was part of their book on how to service that engine on the Cummins. So
yep.
It's neat.
Yeah, I tell you, Dewey's really very sharp on that stuff.
Been
around forever, but he's still up speed. Very, very intelligent when it comes to camshafts.
He's got his own camshaft design and camshaft grinder.
Mm-hmm.
That he actually, back in the day, he did a lot of those. Now, he's got a new CNC machine, and he's developed some new Finale.
Yeah.
People in the automotive industry know what I'm talking about. Finale. It's not plastic. I don't know what you would call it, but it does.
It looks more like a wood.
But yeah.
It's,
it doesn't transfer heat.
Right, right.
And you use that for like a spacer between the intake manifold and the carburetor.
Right.
So then you don't, the fuel doesn't start, you know.
I mean, our adapter on our two-barrel motor for our race car is a Finale adapter. It goes from a four-barrel to a two-barrel.
Right.
It's used to, you know, keep it from transferring heat to the carburetor. Does a very good job. Been running them for years.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I can remember running them back even in, the late 80s and 90s when they first came out, because it seemed like we ran them on cars that I owned.
Believe it or not, I've actually seen people take a 2x6 or 2x8 or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And cut a spacer out of that.
Cut a piece of wood, yeah.
And, yeah, it keeps it from transferring heat.
That's the thing. You're trying to keep that heat for that builds up in the block and the heads and the intake transferred back into the carburetor.
Yeah.
Because if that carburetor gets hot enough where the fuel starts, get to like a boiling point or whatever, there thins out, then you don't get the right amount of fuel.
Yep, absolutely. But it's, you know, I know he's doing his own design on some spacers and that using Finale, but does just, you know, very intelligent when it comes to, you know, how it works, and why it works, and that's what you want out of your, you know, local machinist, you know. A lot of that is really going away.
Right.
People, they just, you know, the knowledge it took to know how to make a normally aspirated motor make peak horsepower and torque and that is different from what everybody's doing nowadays when they're using fuel injection and computers and turbos or superchargers and stuff on them. The Honda guys, you know, they'll take a bone stock head camshaft. I mean, stock cam, stock head, no port work, change valve springs, and they'll do a little beefing up in the bottom end to keep it together. They'll throw a turbocharger on it, and they'll make 700 horsepower out of it.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Four cylinder.
And that's one of the things that I admire Dewey about is the fact that over the years, so many of the machine shops stuck with the old combustion attitude and just, you know, didn't update themselves electronically and engineering-wise to do all of the more things that we need to do today. I mean, Dewey he has the capability of making his own rods.
Right.
He can make his own pistons.
Right.
You know,
right.
with his machinery that he's got.
It's not like he can't do the newer injected stuff, but, you know, he still knows how to do, you know, how to make power out of, you know, a camshaft and the hits.
Oh, hell yes. Well, you know, he studied all of that. And I don't know of anybody in Mobile that's got a camshaft grinder that can grind a camshaft. Now, I'm talking about taking a stock billet and grind it, you know, with the lift duration, center points, and all on it and make it work.
Make your own camshaft.
Oh, yeah. And that's what he's done. You know, back in the days, he built camshafts for us on the four-cylinder motors.
Yeah, and we're talking back in the mid-late 80s.
Right,
turning, you know, motors that were turning almost 9,000 RPMs.
Yeah,
you know,
and I was scared of 4,000.
Right, right.
with a timing belt.
Yeah.
Don't miss a gear, baby. You're going to scatter it all over the track.
If it come out of gear, it'd live.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you better look at it next week. So, you know. I can't tell you, the little drive coupler that we used on that motor, it was just a small hub that was
flying
together.
Yeah.
Called a ram clutch.
Yeah.
And the spring would get weak after a while, and the corners of the spline would get a little worn down. And, you get up max RPM down a straightaway, and all of a sudden it disengages on you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're already turning it at 86, 87, 8,800 RPMs, and it would zing to, you know, 12, 13,000 RPM.
Look and out, cylinder heads.
You lift, and it'd go back, and it'd lock back up, and you could, you know, fix the clutch and finish the night. But we found if you tried to run it the next week, it rod would give up or something would give up in it. Yeah, it didn't like it.
You had stressed the components.
Yeah,
beyond their livelihood.
Yeah, it was a stress testing.
Good
the
old
rods
days
and the pistons.
Good old days. Yeah, but, you know, all that stuff and all that knowledge though he's brought forward, I go by a lot of times and just sit and talk with him. Mm-hmm. And see what he's doing new.
Yeah.
He might have his head stuck in a carburetor, but you know, fixing a carburetor,
right?
Getting a little bit more out of it, or you know, designing a new piston, or changing where the ring glands are in the piston. And mm-hmm. I'm going like, I'm retired. I don't have to do that anymore.
I know years ago when GM come out with their world's worst idea was, you know, turning the Osmill motor into a diesel.
Right,
he got into trying to make those work, you know, mm-hmm. and he had one they drove every day, and it, and he was changing camshafts and doing different cylinder port designs and all that kind of stuff, and made them make okay power.
Right.
Biggest problem with those motors is they just couldn't handle the compression and the stress. Right. The crankshaft just couldn't live, and the head gasket technology at that time. Today, you could probably make it work.
You could make it work today. Yeah.
But back then, the head gaskets were just junk, and you couldn't keep head gaskets on them at that kind of cylinder pressures. Yeah.
Well, I know he's building a lot of the circle track motors, too, now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of the guys from the
a lot of the pure stock class, mm-hmm. he's building quite a few of those motors and doing well. All of his stuff runs very
good.
Well.
Yeah.
So it's
well, you don't have to worry about his motors puking, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. You see some exotic stuff that people put together. Now we're going to do this. And they go out there and run one night, or if you're lucky.
Right.
And then second night, and poof.
Yeah.
Puff, the magic dragon appears.
Yeah.
And you start blowing all that smoke out from under the hood.
And that's, you know, racing's expensive enough as it is without having to build a motor.
No,
three,
you don't.
Four
yeah.
Times a
no,
year.
No, no.
Yeah. You know, if you're going to be competitive and you're going to stay competitive and run for the points and that, you got to have a motor that you can depend on.
Well, and that's why their people are using him, because this stuff, mm-hmm. this stuff is good. He doesn't shortcut anything, and he makes it last. So, I enjoy having him on board and enjoy being able to talk about him and what he's able to do at his facility there mm-hmm. on Butler Drive off of Government Boulevard.
Yep. Yep. If you have any engine issues, go see Dewey. I know he'll be glad to take care of you. But you know, and that's kind of a dying thing.
It is
for a lot of people. You know.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, look, our shop. We've had a shop here for 30 years. This closed. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just even the dealerships. I mean, they used to stay. You know, with sending parts over to machine shops to get them done. I can't tell you the last time I sent something to the machine shop.
Right.
Yeah. Today, if we have a cylinder head problem, a guide, a valve, you know, or if it's just a valve, we'll stick a valve in it ourselves. Mm-hmm. If it's guide, or if it, you know, it's got a blown head gasket or whatever, they don't allow you to cut the head, because, you know, you have like a 2/1000th tolerance that you could cut. And, you know, if it needs to be cut less than 2/1000th, you probably don't need to cut it.
Right.
You know, it's probably
fine. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just no point in even bothering to cut it at that point. So if it's more than that, then you got to replace the head anyway. Yeah, bottom end stuff we just don't have issues with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you may have a piston problem, whatever. But if the cylinder bore is damaged, you don't bore them anymore. You just replace it.
Right. Replace it. Yeah.
So
well, that's what's put out. You know, a lot of the shops out of business.
Mm-hmm.
I know at one time I was doing the machine work for like 14 mm-hmm. different dealerships in Mobile, and I made a record of it and brought it to all of my people's attention, you know, when we closed that mm-hmm. That last month we was there, I did $12 at one dealership.
Right.
You know, we pressed a piston on and off a rod, a couple of pistons on and off rods, and that was it, you know.
Right. And that's the thing, even like now when you replace a piston, it's all a slip fit anymore.
You don't press them on anymore. You know, it's all free
piston.
Floaters.
Yeah. So it's yeah, they've changed everything up to where you just don't have to have the machine shop to do it, which is, you know, kind of a sad thing to me, but you know, it's kind of a dying breed.
But you know, there's a lot of people love these classic cars now.
Yeah.
And a lot of them want to go back and build these the motors that were in them for that that particular year and all.
Yep.
And I mean, even back to the flathead Ford days, and in the early model Fords, when the overhead valves came out in our original 283s and 283 Chevrolets, 289 Fords and stuff like that, some of the six-cylinder stuff. Right. Well, you know, we'll still do all that.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So you don't have to worry about all that.
Yeah, and that's even like Matt, who used to work for you.
Right.
And had his own place before he decided to retire. You know, that's kind of what he had focused on.
Right.
Was building some race motors and some classic motors and building some nice stuff there because, you know, the dealership work was just gone.
Oh, yeah,
the
gone.
Stuff was gone.
Yep.
So anyway, it's time for us to take a break, and we're going to let you hear from our sponsors.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But anyway, we've been talking about some, you know, doing machine work and a few other things. But we'll get back into some of the car stuff. You know, actually I'm going to class the next 2 days in New Orleans for the diagnostic approach, you know, on cars. But I've spent the last 2 weeks on web-based classes for the new electric stuff, and we're going to have to get on board with it because they're changing the CAFE ratings so much to where you're going to have electric cars in your fleet to get past
that's
that
number.
That's the
big thing. The government is forcing them to do that.
They're forcing them to do it, and, you know, it's you better embrace it and I'm telling all my younger guys that if you're going to stay in this business, you better learn electronics.
Right.
You know,
got to.
Because everything is electrical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Years ago, you could make a decent living and not have to touch a wire on a car. You know, those days are pretty well gone.
That's gone.
You know, because everything you touch, even brakes, you know, they have wear sensors and all that kind of stuff on the brakes. You have wheel speed sensors. You have, you know, just multiple different things. Plus, our hybrid vehicles, yeah, they still have a hydraulic brake, but they also use regenerative braking, so it has a whole different electric brake booster set up on it. So the first part of the brake pedal that you're using, it's not physically pushing on the master cylinder. You know, it's reading that input as to how much pressure to put on the brake system, how much to use the generator built into the transmission to slow the car down, you know, and they'll regenerate power to the batteries by doing that. You know, yeah, the hydraulic brakes are there, and when you come to a stop, they hold the car, all that kind of stuff. But typically, you're not using much hydraulic brake anymore. You know, on those
kind of like a Jake brake on a diesel,
kind of sort of. I mean, it's using the motor slow,
right?
You know, the electric motor to slow the car down.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, luckily they can pull some energy back out of that motor, put it back in the battery to extend the life there a little bit. They're trying to eke out every drop they can, you know, back into the batteries. I know, just looking at some of the the charge times on the chargers for the cars. The one the Bolt comes with, which is kind of typical for most, you know, electric vehicles. If it's a 110 plug-in, it takes like, I think it's 70 some odd hours to charge the battery full.
Huh.
Now, if you go to a 220,
yeah,
you can get it done in about 50 hours.
Now, that's an original new battery, totally dead.
Well, you know, that's down to, you know, its low point of about 30%. You know, they don't want you to take it down past 20% anyway. So to get it back up to 100% or close to 100%, it takes that long. Now, you can go to the fast charger. They have two different ones. They have like a 40-amp and a 60 or 65-amp charger. And you can get that number down to, I believe it's about 5 hours
That's for the Bolt.
Yeah, for the Bolt.
Bolt.
But that's the same charger that most of the electric,
right,
you know, cars use. Tesla has their own deal, but a Tesla can also charge on that same charger, so it's the same deal too.
Okay.
You know, you can see these fast chargers, and they'll put about a 30% charge into the battery, or 30 or 40% charge into the battery in, you know, I think it's like 30 minutes, you know, which is enough to get you going and get you another 100-mile range. And you can go on about your business for the day, as long as you're not traveling very far.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So the key thing with electric stuff is the ability to charge and charge fast, you know, is how well you can cool the charging system, you know, between the charger and the car and battery staying cool, which they have their own cooling systems.
Is it automatically activated?
Yeah. Once you hook up, I mean, the cooling system, it's monitoring the batteries, it's monitoring how cool it is. It will actually sit there and turn the air conditioning on in the car while it's charging, because they're part of the AC system also cools the battery. It actually uses refrigerant, part of the expansion valve, basically, to cool that battery as it's being charged, which in turn also uses power. So,
right,
you know, it's something we're all going to have to get on board with. We're all going to have to figure out how to work it. The range is going to get better as we go. So, you know, I don't know what to tell them other than they need to, you know, they need to get on board and get to training. But, let's see. We have a text message here. Let's see. Power unit, hydraulic power unit for the hybrids. Hyundai's run about $2,400 just for the part on the power unit. But yeah, it's none of this stuff's cheap. And it's all proprietary, so you're going to end up carrying it back to the dealer to get it worked on. You know, and my biggest problem with the whole deal is the government pushing people into going with electric in a very short period of time. I mean, how many people can, you know, your average person, the people that it's going to affect the most, how many average people can say, you know, run out there tomorrow and spend $50,000 or $60,000 on a new car?
Well, then they got to come back to the house and get the charging system set up at the house. And
right,
I was looking at an article today where they did eight people's this guy that's in Chicago did it for all of his employees so that they could study it. And the first one of the lowest priced one was $1,800 and the highest pricing was $6,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, just to be able to charge the car.
Well,
and you hope and pray,
right,
that it's not a snowstorm and it shuts down or shuts your electricity off.
Yeah, you know. And
wonder what's happening to Portland out there the last few days with all that ice and snow's out there and they've got all the electricity out.
Well, and how often during the summer do they have controlled power outages, right, where they turn the power off and conserve energy in that.
And our little hurricanes, and we have a Himacanes or Hermacanes here on the coast.
Well, they tout that you can use your electric vehicle to power your house and all that, and that's all well and good, you know, but eventually you got to charge that thing back up.
Yep, sure have.
Yeah, so you better have your gas-burning generator sitting around where you can charge
something. Yeah, if I bought an electric car, I'm buying me a nice, good, about a 4,000 kW generator, and I keep talking about these outboard motor tanks because they are a lot better than a regular gas can, you know, because you can control the fuel that don't leak in your car. But also, I want to give you the location on the competition head service again. That's 913 Butler Drive off of Government Boulevard, and the phone number, if you need to talk with Dewey, 251-666-7187. 666-7187.
Give them a call if you have have any kind of engine problems you need to get checked. He can help you out on your machine work on your motors.
There you go. Silverhead repairs, things of that nature.
That's a dying breed that they can definitely take care of. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show tonight. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Rumpel, and I will be back next week.
And to all our veterans and first responders out there, we appreciate your service. We appreciate what you have done for us and what you do for us. Hoorah! Move on over, stand aside, my crew's control.